Fourth sermon in our priority series. So you like review, don't you? Yeah. The first one was the priority of love. And we've been using that passage of Scripture all week, all month. Love God, love your neighbor. That's basically what it was about. Number two, the priority of praising the Lord. We had quite a bang-up service on that day, and a lot of excitement. Number three, the priority of commitment to the church. We need commitment to one another. The Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the custom of some is, but as you see the day approaching, exhort one another one or more. Now, there may be several different ideas as to what that means, but I think it's a good idea to think about. Am I going to go to church this coming Lord's Day? Am I going to go out and do whatever I do? Do we believe that Scripture? Let's see. Let me try that again. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the custom of some is, but as you see the day approaching, exhort one another all the more. Do you believe that Scripture?
Yes.
Oh, that was weak. Wow. Today we're looking at wisdom. I don't know about you, but I need wisdom every day of my life. Some of you may have all the wisdom that you need, but I don't. It's interesting to me, these are actual situations that have actually taken place by dumb criminals. They really needed wisdom. In 2010, two criminals decided to rob the People's Bank at Fairfield, Connecticut. So they called one of the tellers and said, hey, put a couple thousand dollars, they wanted $100,000, put it in a paper sack. They thought they were ordering pizza, by the way, but we're ordering $100,000, and in 10 minutes we'll be there to pick it up. Boy, that's a pretty easy way to rob a bank, isn't it? So in 10 minutes, here they came. And guess what? All of a sudden, all the doors closed, and the bank was filled with policemen. They were immediately arrested. How did they come to the conclusion that they could call up a bank and say, fill us a sack of money, and everything is going to be A-okay? Another one, two men stole a valuable pickup truck and then drove about 30 miles where they broke into several other vehicles and some other places. And in the end, they had amassed about $200,000 worth of stuff, including wallets and, of all things, a boat. After all their hard work, they were exhausted. So they parked their stolen vehicle outside a local business and took a nap. And when they awoke, they were surrounded by the police. How do you think you can get away with that kind of stuff? But some people do. A couple of some friends somehow managed to steal several million dollars from a Looms Fargo bank. Boy, did they have fun spending money. They bought a mansion, a BMW, and a host of other extravagant items. Things seemed to be going well. Boy, were they excited. Until one of the men's wives decided to open a bank account. And she took one of the series of bills to the bank, still wrapped in the Loomis Fargo bank wrappers. And guess what? They were all arrested. We do some dumb things. We may not do as dumb things as what these criminals had done, but we do need wisdom. The dumbest thing the very, very dumbest thing is found in Psalm 14:1, where the scripture says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Gwen, this thing is coming apart on me. I need you to help me with this thing that you have hooked me up with. It's falling apart. Sorry about that. Oh, here it is. Okay. Got it.
I'll put it in that pocket, yeah.
Yeah. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Do we need wisdom? Here's what the scripture says in James 1:5. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should think that he's smart enough to take it on his own. Huh? No, that's not what it says, is it? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. It's not as if James is saying, well, some of you may be wise enough to handle everything on your own. And I know people like that. They think they can do it all on their own. They think that no matter what happens to them, they're smart enough to figure it out and do it on their own. In the end, they die, and they haven't figured it out yet. So, bottom line is, we're not as smart as we think we are. And we do think we're pretty smart. I talk to a lot of people who think, boy, I am one of the wisest people on the face of the earth. I've done this, I've done that, I've been so successful in all of these things that I've done. And yet the scripture says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. And if we're smart, if we really are smart, we'll understand that we need the wisdom of the Lord. And that's the wisdom that will help us get through this life in a wonderful, powerful way. We desperately need God's wisdom all of the time, not just intermittently, not just here and not just there, but all of the time. Helping people to, I like what this one church, by the way, I've been here over 16 years. How many of you can quote I can't. How many of you can quote what we say we believe? It's in your bulletin every Sunday. It's in the paper every week, every month. But here's what I like, what they said. Helping people discover the unexpected joy of desperate dependence on Jesus. Let me say that one more time. Helping people discover the unexpected joy of desperate dependence on Jesus. Overall, mankind is filled with pride. That's the bottom line. We feel like we can handle all the problems of life. We deal with cranky children or prickly boss. If we have a bad case of the flu, we buy all this over-counter the stuff. We go to the emergency room. We handle everything on our own. A pile of works gets dumped on us. We have four funerals, one right after the other. We think that we can handle all of that. I sure don't. But sometimes big things happen that leave us flat on the ground. And that's the time that we need to turn to the Lord and ask for his wisdom. There's a lesson that we have to learn over and over and over and over again. It's amazing how We go through life thinking that we can handle everything, and we can't. Isn't it amazing how quickly life can change? You can be going along, wow, you've got a big bank account. Your marriage is solid. Your children and grandchildren are doing what you think they should do. Boy, you're excited about all of that. And then all of a sudden you hit a big bump and everything changes. It can change just like that. And that's when we need to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your wisdom. The bottom line is we all need God's wisdom at all of the time. But we fail not. We tend not to take advantage of that. I don't know why. The scripture tells us to ask God for wisdom. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, is there anybody here other than myself who lacks wisdom? Well, some of you don't. Some of you have all the wisdom you need. But there's a few of us who raised our hand because we know that we need wisdom. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all... generously? You mean he really does give generously to those of us who ask for wisdom? And without finding fault. And it will be given to him. Wow, I like that. How about you? I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing. It's a mess. Technology, wonderful thing. We believe that the Lord that we serve will give us all the wisdom that we need for whatever we need it. Whether it's improving our marriage, whether it's doing things in the church that glorify the Lord, whatever we need. And I want you to think about what he has done for us right now. He has given us the exact amount of hydrogen and oxygen that we need to sustain life on this planet. He has given us the moon, which controls the tides and cleanses the oceans. There are about 750 things that are required for life to be sustained on the planet Earth. And God has given us every one of them. That's wisdom. Our itty-bitty wisdom is like a teaspoon of water in relationship to the ocean. That's really how smart we are. We think we're smarter than that, but we're really not. Add to that, we believe that God sent his only begotten Son to make a sacrifice on our behalf, died on the cross, shed his blood, given us the opportunity to have eternal life. I was amazed at the funeral that we had for Donna. Many of those people did not know the Lord. But we pray that what Donna had me put in the funeral will help them to understand that they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As Christians, we don't need to try to be smarter than God. We don't need to try to please God in a way from our so-called smartness. But just to lay ourselves on the ground, put our faces next to the ground and cry out, God, I need you, I love you, I'm not smart enough to do anything else. Not only because we lack wisdom, but because we believe there is a God in heaven who wants us to trust him in every respect by seeking his face and seeking his wisdom. The bottom line throughout the Bible is that God is love, and he cares about you. He wants to know what's going on in your life, and he wants to help you in every respect. Ask, then believe. This is what the scripture says. But when he asks, he must believe. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. He must actually believe. No doubt, he must actually believe. And not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Uh-oh. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I have dealt with a lot of double-minded people. Oh, I love the Lord. I do love the Lord, but the next minute they aren't loving the Lord. They do what they think they should do instead of what God thinks they should do. So if we want wisdom and we come to the Lord and we ask for it, but we doubt it, we're not going to get one single solitary thing. And then we're going to go away thinking, well, God doesn't love me. Well, God says right here, you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. If you've ever dealt with a double-minded person, you know how interesting that is. He's in a constant civil war, always in a civil war, never able to fully commit to anything. I'm going to do this. Well, that never comes to pass. He or she is unable to stick with a job. I know guys and gals who go from job, 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 because they're double-minded. They're in a civil war. Relationships and responsibilities are not a part of their lives. And that's true in the church. It's true in the church. Amazing, isn't it? We attempt to get wisdom apart from God. You remember Eve in the Garden of Eden? In Genesis 3:6, the scripture says, then the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at. Yeah! Looked so doggone good. And that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So what did she do? She didn't obtain wisdom. She listened to Satan and was kicked out of the garden. In a sense, we're all double-minded. Depends on the level. In all of us, there's a pull that says, I can do it myself. I have the answer to spiritual growth. It's so easy for us to listen to all the voices of the world. The culture, which comes from the adversary, Satan. Boy. We think that Eve was worse than we are. No, she wasn't. She's just like us, and we're just like her. Wow, this looks awful good. Wow. It's the story of the whole human race over and over and over again. Ever since Eden, we've been double-minded, listening to God with one ear and to something else with the other ear. And if we expect that we're going to get God's wisdom under those circumstances, forget it, because the scripture says we're not going to get one single solitary thing. So where do we find God's wisdom? If we ask God for wisdom, is he just going to put it into our heads? No, the wisdom is in this book. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's wisdom has been given to us in the Bible. And so when we ask for wisdom, by the way, if you really want to understand this word wisdom, go to the book of Proverbs. There are 55 verses in the book of Proverbs that use the word wisdom. 55 verses. Write each of those verses down. Don't just underline them. Write them down. It will give you a new understanding of the word wisdom. I know it takes time to do that, and you're a busy person. But I tell you what, if you're serious about the wisdom of God, do that. 55 verses in the book of Proverbs that you can read, write down, and pray over, along with what we learn here in the book of James. Get wisdom, get understanding. Yeah. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. And there's only one place you get that, and that's in this book. Boy, thank God for his word. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. Because as we study, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding. The scripture says, choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge, rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I like the fact that the scripture presents wisdom in the feminine form. I really like to study that in the Greek. It's marvelous. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. But all we hear today is get gold, get silver, get money, do something. That's not what the scripture says. God's wisdom is better than all of it put together. And then some. Here's what God's wisdom is not. Who is wise and understanding among you? But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, I want to do something that glorifies me. Selfish ambition in your heart. Do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and here's a powerful word, demonic. Wow. There is a wisdom that is demonic, a wisdom that is unspiritual, a wisdom that is earthly. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disaster and every evil practice. That passage of Scripture requires a lot of time to pray over it, to really understand what each word means, earthly, unspiritual, demonic. You know, Gwen and I spent time in South Africa, and to talk to some of the people in that country about demonism, they understood. You didn't have to. In the United States, you talk about demonic influences, and people look at you like you just got turned out of an insane asylum. They don't want to understand the demonic influence that we are under today in the United States of America. And we are. I'm not saying that it's coming from one side or the other side. I'm just saying that there's a demonic influence. There's an unspiritual influence. And there's certainly an earthly influence. So, what is James saying? If you harbor bitter envy in your heart towards anybody, you're in trouble. If you have selfish ambition, if all you want to do is glorify yourself, you're in trouble. God's wisdom leads to godly living. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. We want to see good stuff happen. There it is. I couldn't say it that well, but the Holy Spirit can. Wow. Here's the good news. Christ himself is our wisdom. If you're not a Christian, you need Christ. If you are a Christian, you need Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says Christ himself is our wisdom. We all need Christ. We all need wisdom. And there's only one place to get it. And God has manifested himself in his Son, Jesus Christ, through the Word. And that's where we need to bathe our faces, is in the Holy Word of God. So, this week, we're getting close to September 15th. Use some wisdom in talking to people about their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you need wisdom, please ask. He's not going to turn you away. But remember, no doubting, no doubting.